भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhagavat Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarna 3 Functions of the Chit and Achit Shaktis Anucheda 24 page 124 well, page 114 Many qualities which include those listed by Hamsa quoted in the previous Anucheda are enumerated in the first canto Ete chanye cha bhagavan nitya yatra maha guna Pratya mahatvam ichadbhir na viyanti sma karhichit. If you reside, in you reside the following eternal great qualities, which do not disappear at any time. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:16:29. The commentary says, these qualities, ete, number 41, there are other qualities, anye, such as serving Brahmins and being a worthy shelter. In the Lord, these qualities are natural, nityaha, and are not destroyed. Kala, murtadi, mayascha, kalo na yat vibhute, parinama hetu. The Lord's qualities have no cause for change from time with its divisions. Vishnu Purana 4.184, the earth speaks to Dharma. So the Lord's qualities have no need to change. There's no reason for them to change. Right, in the material world, they change because of the karma of the living entities. They change because of the creation and destruction, because that's the nature of the world. That's how it's made, like, you know. And so, therefore, there's a cause of change. But in the spiritual world, there's no cause for change. Right? There's variety, how they manifest variety, but the energies are there eternally. Right? So, no duality. Yeah, spiritual world, no duality. Like that. Here you have the duality because the soul and the body aren't the same. And everything you see, even though the potency is the Lord, you don't see it as the Lord. So you see in the dualistic. So therefore the impersonalists, because they see the illusion and they see Brahman, right, and they see it as two different things and they don't see the Lord, they're also in duality. Like that. They may be a more renounced or detached or knowledgeable duality, but they're still in duality. Anucheda 25. Varuna says, my obeisances unto Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman, within whom there is no trace of the illusory energy, which orchestrates only the creation of this world. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.28.6. In the Lord's Sarup of three forms, Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman, Maya does not exist. His appearance does not arise from Maya. The reason is given. Maya has control over creating and destroying the material world only. Loka Shrishti Vikalpana. In asking about Bhugola, earth with its divisions, Parikit says, O Guru, the mind fixed on the Lord's gross form, made of matter, Bhugola, can absorb itself in the Supreme Brahman, Bhagavan, Vasudev, light of the soul, who is beyond matter. Therefore, you should explain the structure of the universe. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.16.3. The Varuna speaks to the Lord. Anucheda 26. I meditate on the Supreme Lord Vasudev, by whose insurmountable Maya people call me the Guru of the universe. The ignorant jivas, bewildered by Maya, who is ashamed to stand in the sight of the Lord, boast about I and mine. 2:5, 12-13. Ignorant jivas like me are bewildered by this Maya, which is ashamed to be seen by the Lord, who is without fault, filled with eternity, knowledge, and bliss, while Maya is filled with faults like Tamas. Brahma speaks to Narada. So Maya is shy to stand in front of the Lord, and we, under the control of Maya, think that we're really doing good. You know, we're equal or better than the Lord. The Lord doesn't even exist. But the Maya that is controlling us doesn't even stand in front of the Lord. Like that. You know, so then what's the position of the atheists and like that? They're really not in a good place. Riti. This concludes the discussion on the functions of the chit and achit shaktis, and also concludes the discussion on the topic, the form of the Lord arises from his sarup, the second andhyaya. Next, the new topic commences, illustrating the powers and opulences of the Lord. Okay, so study guide part 2, Bhagavat Sandarbha. So then we have Adhyayana 3, Anuchedas 27-85, further analysis of the transcendental nature of the Lord's sarup. Okay, so this whole thing is just Adhyayana 3.
Yes.
Okay, and then the next one's Adhyayana 4.
Adhyayana
4, okay.
Superiority from Bhagavan
was from... Okay. So in this one, then, the breakdown of Adhikarana 1, Anuchedas 27-29, eternality of the Lord's deity form. Adhikarana 2, Anuchedas 30-45, Bhagavan's medium-sized form is omnipotent and all-pervasive. Adhikarana 3, Anuchedas 46-53, transcendental attributes of Bhagavan. Adhikarana 4, Anuchedas 54-61, the form of the Lord is the highest tattva. Adhikarana 5, Anuchedas 62-85, Lord's paraphernalia are non-different from his sarup. Adhyayana 3, further analysis of the transcendental nature of the Lord's form, Anuchedas 27-85, Adhyaya Prakashika. The previous Adhyayana presented that the Lord possesses his own sarup shakti, which is transcendental to material modes and coexists with him eternally. His form and qualities which arise from this eternal potency have the same transcendental features as his shakti. Even after establishing the transcendental potencies of the Lord in the spiritual world, some scholars still have doubts regarding the human-like form of the Lord, through which he performs various pastimes in the material world. Because you have the aspect of how you say, people can accept, okay, he's all-powerful, he's God, you know, and those aspects like that, they can accept. But then these human-like pastimes, then they'll consider that something lower. Right? Because if you're just looking at the elevation in a linear fashion, then you always want to look like this. You know, because you're going to have what is the status, what is that here? Because here it's based on the mundane qualities of the things themselves. And your whole status is based on that. Now, what defines that? Why would, let's say, knowledge and renunciation be better than Dharma, Artha, or Kama? Right? Because why do people work so hard? Right? They perform dharma to get artha so they can enjoy themselves. Even the impersonalists are saying they'll enjoy Brahmananda. You know, as was pointed out previously, without the concept of ananda in Brahman, what's the attractive feature for the soul? Because for the soul, being ananda, they have to have that. Right? So just saying that they're just sat and all this, then where's the Brahmananda come in? If you're just sat, you don't care for ananda. You just care for eternity. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like the fish. It, you know, you put it in water, it's happy. You put it on a first-class couch, or let's say we put it in the front seat of a Rolls Royce, you know, like that. But it still doesn't care. Right? It needs to be in water. So the whole point is it doesn't matter how we define it. If the soul doesn't have ananda, why is it interested in ananda? And why would that not be illusion? If all these things, it's illusion, you know, the activities, the forms, everything, why is the ananda not an illusion? Right? Because they're keeping existence, they're keeping the idea of ananda, and, you know, they will follow a process to get there. So it's all according to the soul. But then, you know, then they'll say, no, it doesn't exist. So that's the problem with these. They'll use something and then say it doesn't exist. You know, the guru's there and important and the shastra, but it doesn't exist. You know? I am Narayan, but I don't exist. It's like, what's the point of the whole thing? It's very, very foolish.
Some of the things said is like a conflict because the nature of the soul and the mind, we want to be God. It's like a conflict.
Well, you want to be the enjoyer, and that just happens to be that you control everything. You know? So then, the point is the living entity is God, but just, as Prabhupada points out, small God. 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair God. Right? Not unlimited. You know, so it's the same substance. Just that Krishna is unlimited. Right? And he's independent. Right? He's the source of the Shakti. So it's not that he's made up of all these Shaktis. He's the source of the Shaktis. Right, so then in the human form, so then why is it the renunciation would be considered better? Right, so there's this whole thing, because you got dharma, artha, and kama, right, people are going to go in that direction, and then when they find that doesn't work, then they go for moksha. Right, so they're trying to enjoy in the world, or get out of the world, and in that way they'll be happy. So, since the living entity doesn't belong in the material world, right, therefore moksha is considered the higher of these. Does that make sense? Without dharma, you don't get artha and kama. Right? You need artha for kama. So kama is the lowest. Then that's dependent on artha, that's dependent on dharma. But the whole point of dharma is actually to take up your, you know, service to the Lord. So that means detachment from the material world, and that knowledge needs to be there. So that's why it's in that form. Otherwise, what would be the point of illusion, you know, covering Brahman and making living entities? What's the point? What for? Especially since it doesn't exist in the first place. Right? So the thing is things are done because they have a benefit. They have a purpose. So that's the idea, is that because the creation has a purpose. It didn't just happen. Right? And its purpose is, you know, self-realization. Right? Not sense gratification like the demons will say. So, because the living entity wants sense gratification, that's why they're here, so they can relate. But the whole purpose of having created it is to get out. Right? You know, it's just like a prison. What's the purpose of the prison? You know, right? To reform people so they can go back out into the society. You know, it's not meant that, okay, you know, you've been a criminal, you know, such a good criminal, now, you know, we have this special resort for you just to enjoy yourself. You know? Does that make sense? And we put walls around it so the people outside don't get in. It's not that we're keeping you in, we're keeping them out. Because it's so good. Right? No?
Sometimes Maharaj people want to, when it is very cool now in the West, freezing, you know, when you don't have a space for sleeping, sometimes people make a small problem to get in jail for the winter.
Really? And then they keep warm. But how do they time it that it'll just be only enough to keep them that much? They have to know the law nicely, you know. This will keep you here only 4 months or something. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
It's a violent crime, but it has to be good enough to keep you in there for a couple months. So.
Yeah.
Robbery.
Yeah, you have, but unarmed.
Not an armed robbery.
Yeah, unarmed.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not even a serious robbery. You just walk in and say, okay, give me all the money. Oh, okay, call the cops. There you go.
And then you just stand there and wait.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the whole doubt that they have. Because the human pastimes, they're taking it as liberation as the main thing. But the point of liberation is to go back to Godhead. It's not to just get out of the material world. Right, you know, it's not that the whole point is just to get out of prison and then just stand outside there, right? Because there's always a road outside. So then you get out of prison, you'll just stand on the road and just think, oh, this is fabulous. You know, you're going to go into society. That's the whole thing. So So the point of renunciation is to get you out of the prison, to get you out of the material world. But it's not that that's the highest thing. So that's why then these, you know, it's generally the jnanis have the problem with this. The karmis don't. You talk about getting out of here, going back to Godhead, and the personal relationships, that they can relate to that, because from dharma, then there's artha, and then kama. That's all going to be with people. Right? But for the jnanis, then they don't really relate to people. So that's they can't understand. They'll have a problem with this human form. So now of that, okay, being God and all that, then it's very, very formal. But we know that you have the formal things and they have their particular taste. But then let's say you have a very big formal program, you know, very elaborate formal program. Then after the program, you want to relax with somebody who's close so you can just be informal. You don't go from that down, you know, to another formal situation. Right? So that would mean that informal, that more personal, that's the higher position. That gives more happiness. But so since they're working on liberation as the goal, they can't understand this. Right? The karmis have a better understanding, but they can't tell the difference between material and spiritual. But the point is they can appreciate it. So actually, being in the position of the jnanis is actually a lower position. Does that make sense? So in Artha Artarti, then, you know, how you say, they're going to understand Krishna consciousness more easily than the jigyasu. Right? Unless the jigyasu is someone who really wants to know about the Lord. So then they very quickly become a jnani, you know, about the neophyte devotees. But that's why it's there's jnanis, because they understand the Lord, his position. They have that gratefulness to the Lord and that mood of service towards the Lord, rather than just getting something from the Lord like the Artha Artarti and Jigyasa. Right? So that's why it's better. But when we talk about the scholars, the jnanis, that aspect, they're actually in a lower position than the karmis. Because by their intellect, they can't relate to personal dealings and personal understandings. You know, they're famous for that, no? Big intellectuals, you know, especially the more science direction it gets, the less they can really actually relate to other living entities. It's just, you know. So that's the problem. They just become very dry. That's why we say dry scholars. Because they are. Yes?
The material world has the purpose of getting out of here.
Yes.
So isn't it the spiritual world has a built-in feature not to get out of there?
Yeah, the built-in feature is love for Krishna. You love Krishna, why will you leave? But if you don't love Krishna, then you may leave. Does that make sense? Even after establishing the transcendental potencies of Lord in the spiritual world, some scholars still have doubts regarding the human-like form of the Lord, to which he performs various pastimes in the material world. They misconstrue the Bhagavan has to take a material body and has to be bound by karma when he appears in the material world, right? Because if he's doing human stuff, he has to be like us, you know, hence the song, you know, is God, you know, like one of us, you know? That whole thing. It's just like, that's the problem. Is they don't understand spiritual. They're thoughtful, they think a lot, and just because you think a lot doesn't mean what you're thinking about is of value, right? You know, just like, let's say, what do you call those, like, really, you know, refined thieves? You know, they really have plans and, you know, it's very elaborate. I mean, you had cat burglars, but that was generally if there's one. But you understand what we're talking about? You know, they don't just walk in and, you know, take something and walk out. They have this whole plan and this and that, and, you know, it's very elaborate. They make movies out of this one, right? And so then just because that's that they think a lot doesn't mean what they're thinking about is of value. Even though it's very elaborate. You know, that's the whole thing. So this idea, oh, they're thinking, so therefore, you know, it's like, but who would say that except people who don't think? Thinking is pretty standard. But what's the purpose of the thinking? That's the whole thing that you must see, right? Like that? Yes.
Modern psychologists, they take Jan is introvert and Karen is extrovert. And I want to ask who but Jan Sun has told that introverts, they have more opportunity to be elevated in Krishna consciousness because they always see inside. But problem is that introverts, they usually don't like to associate with devotees also. And my question is, who of these two types has, can be
elevated quicker? Yeah. Okay, so when the scriptures, just if we're taking those points as fact, you know, just we're taking that, because sometimes the definition is a little broader than that. But you could take a kind of a generic kind of thing, yes. So in this process, like Rupa Goswami is explaining and all the acharyas and Krishna is explaining the 11th canto, what's the most important element for us to come in contact with, be cultivated in Krishna consciousness, be inspired for the ultimate goal in Krishna consciousness?
Satsang.
Satsang. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, so association of devotees. So then who's in the better position by that definition? You understand? So if because it's being thought that if I think about it, that makes devotional service. But is it one of the nine processes? So then how is it? But we see the extrovert, you know, you're hearing, you're chanting. Okay, you're remembering, but you're remembering what you've heard and chanted. Because they're not remembering, they're just thinking about. Right? Padasevana, you're doing work, prayers, deity worship, all these others, you're doing an active application. That's abhideya. Right? So this idea that, no, because they think they're in a superior position, this is them, they think, and they're in a superior position. You know, it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say you have the punks down on the street. You know, they're hanging out with some group. They'll think they're superior to everybody else out there. Right? And then the guy sitting in the window of his building, you know, in his office, you know, he's the professional. He's looking about those guys. And he's thinking, those poor slobs, you know, what do they got? You know, he's got the stuff. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So everybody's thinking that they're better. It's just that somehow by the modes, now's the time when the intellectuals can kind of be confident to say that they're doing better. Go back a few years, they didn't have this position. You know, it keeps going up and down, just depending on where it is. You know, late 1700s, early 1800s, they kind of had a shot. Then they kind of in the middle didn't. Then at the end of the end of the century and beginning of the next, they kind of had a bit of a thing, and then it just disappears again. And that, in other words, only when there's peace and things like that, then it's nice to sit around and think. But if it's not peaceful, if you can't get out and do something, nothing happens. Does that make sense? Right? So one has to be very, very careful about taking it that just because we can think, that makes the existence. Right? Because they're taking, I think, therefore I am. But nowadays it's, I feel, therefore I am. Right? And the Shastras say, because you're conscious, that's what defines you. Right? The material energy also exists, but it's unconscious. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be very careful not to get distracted by this idea that somehow or another the scholars and jnanis are superior.
Actually, I don't think that they're superior, but if they just don't like to be in a crowd or to associate in a...
But why don't they like to be in a crowd? Yes, it's not that they want to just be thinking about Krishna, and so therefore the crowds distract them from that. Just like this, we take that scholar, right? Would he have a real problem of be standing at a podium in front of the crowd at the Nobel Prize awards? You understand? So it just means they socially don't know how to interact because it's something they never thought about. Right? So what area are you thinking? That's what you work in. You're comfortable in that. And yes, knowledge by Krishna's arrangement is higher than administration, which is higher than economics, which is higher than skills. But that's Krishna's arrangement. And so they're trying to take advantage, just like the Brahmins, because they're born in a Brahmin family, they're superior. No, you have to act like one. So they're scholars, so what benefit are you doing? What are you doing? How do you interact? You know what I'm saying? Because there's a good chance the top most scholars in the modern academy, they can't teach classes. You know what I'm saying? They're there just because they're so good at their work and they have their place and they work. They don't teach. Because if they did teach, no one would learn anything. You know what I'm saying? So one has to be able to go beyond the attachment for, just like we have to go beyond the attachment for karma and sense gratitude, we have to go beyond attachment to jnana and liberation. So all that happens is, oh yeah, no, that's all that, but this. But at the same time, we keep all the feelings of the one, you know, not the sense gratification, just the feeling and like that. But at the same time, we keep the other thing. You know, it's just, we pick and choose. So that's the modes. It just switches. What's prominent, what's, you know, so it's not even a real jnani, because you have the whole karma thing. You know, the sense enjoyment and all those, and sentiments and, you know. Does that make sense? So they're trying to establish this point that it's in between. But they can't get a balance because they don't know what is balance. See, balance means you have to know what is balance. Otherwise, how do you balance something? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difficulty. We have to be careful with that. Because they're taking it, the extroverts, the introverts. What, anybody knows the name for where someone's both? That's a better place. That when they're on their own, they can be comfortable on their own. When they're with others, they can be comfortable with being with others. That's the Vaishnava position. That's the proper position. Like Lord Chaitanya has no problem being alone in Gambira. Same time, he has no problem being out on the street with all the devotees in Harinam. And because Vishwambha, he's able to deal personally with them, each according to their individual nature, and interact based on that level. And that's not Maya. You know what I'm saying? So cultivating the individual, cultivating the group, yourself, cultivating yourself, they can do all that. So that's the proper balance, just to divide into introverts and extroverts. So how many karmis are introverts? See, they're taking it that because you're thinking, therefore you're a jnani. But you have karmis that are totally absorbed in the idea of sense gratification, but they just can't go out and get it. You know? You know what I'm saying? And you do have people who are teachers that are annoyingly extroverts. You know? And they let, you know, they got a big mouth and let everybody know about what they're extroverted about. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I was saying it's a very general thing to say karmis are extroverts and jnanis are introverts. The difference is they're both thinking. The difference is that the karmis are willing to work with externally what they're thinking about, while the jnanis then not as much. You know. Does that make sense? Or if they are, it's on their own intellectual terms. It's not based on personal things. You know, it's like psychologists. They don't deal with you as a person. You're just specimen that they run their system through. And then they watch how you respond. And for that, that's fun. It has nothing to do with you. If it had something to do with you, why is it $300 an hour? Yeah. That makes sense? Yeah.
The term is omnivert.
Omnivert. Omnivert. Okay, that's good. Introvert, extrovert, and omnivert.
Like you mentioned once that devotees are supposed to be Goshtyanandis.
Yes.
Acting like
Bhajanandis. Means, I think someone mentioned the Jiva Goswami. Maybe, have you come across it? The Jiva Goswami mentions Goshtyanandis are a group of Bhajanandis, yeah, who then cooperate together to preach. Yes, so does that make sense? So his point is that they're able to do their own bhajan in that, but they work with the other devotees to expand the movement and preach and discuss, because otherwise what's the point? Was it... Is it Tesham Satata Yuktam? Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. They're always sitting together talking about Krishna and everything like that. So that's the whole point, and these are the ones that know something. Right? So the karmis will get together, but they'll talk about Maya. Devotees will get together and talk about Krishna. Scholars don't get together. Even if they did, what would they do?
Criticize
others. So you find two, and then the two of you criticize that guy, and then when he goes, then that guy you're talking to, then you criticize this guy.
Yes.
I watched it once. It was really funny. There were three of us, and the three of us would talk about something, criticizing some other, you know, whatever it is. You know? But as soon as one left the room, like to go to the bathroom, then the two would criticize the one that went to the bathroom. And as soon as he comes back, then you go about criticizing a third, you know, an outside party. And then when somebody else went, so you know when you get up and go to the bathroom, they're criticizing you. So, yes, that's the...
Also, PhD scholar, the student when he is going to present, it's nothing about the student. His guide, who is the professor, whoever is in good terms with them, they will be positive. Whoever is in bad terms, they will screw the student.
Okay, then just rip him apart. Okay. Yes.
Sometimes in Hindu devotees, they complain that it's difficult to them to go to some kirtan because they're afraid of people and they...
They're afraid of people. Are they afraid of people? Mm-hmm. Are they afraid of being seen with the devotees? And then
no, because they're afraid of people. Not because they're afraid to be seen with the devotees. Because they live in Mathu. And they just thought for them, more easy to interact with small groups of people.
Yes, so then do we not have small group programs?
Yes.
They can always have programs at their house, do kirtan, talk about Krishna and all that. What's the problem? But that's an individual. That doesn't. That's not meaning that now they're jnanis.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
It means they're not Bengalis.
Yes, they're not Bengalis. So that's the thing. Bengalis can sit quietly on their own, or they can be in a seriously large, rugby scrum, right? You know, they're cool. They don't mad, you know. So, like on the train, you have a place for three people to sit. Five sit there. That's standard. And if it's packed, six. Remember, once they had an old for some time. They had an old first class chair car that ran from Krishnagar to Calcutta and back on the local train. And if you paid, I forget what it was like. It was something like. Can't remember. I think the regular fee was like 10 rupees. No, 10 rupees is what it took you to get from here to Calcutta. Like that. It was 6 rupees. So I think if it was like maybe 10 or something, then you could get in the first class, you know, and you didn't have to, you know, sit all those people. So one time I thought, okay, this is cool. So I get the ticket, go in, got my seat. You know, it's got arms on it, which is far out, you know. Thinking, wow, this is nice. Then when it comes to the next station, the people get on, and they sit on the arm of the chair. And I say, what are you doing? This is my seat. He says, yeah, yours is the seat. the arms are ours. It was like, okay. I don't think I'd bother with that one again. But there was no advantage, you know. You know, so yes, so as points out. So that's the things you see here in this, that they can be together in big groups, no problem. They don't have limited people there. But at the same time, as they can sit and be alone, or they can be personal with one person or a group, or they can do all of that. So that's normal. So to try to say that one is better, one's the other, so easy. See, like we said here, omnivert. Yes, they are kind of omnivores, but that's better. So this whole thing that karmis are better than gyan, that fight's been going on forever. You know, it's always that. Does that make sense? So the point is there's Krishna, and there's the living entities, and the living entities are servant of Krishna. Therefore, that's their position to come back to. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Can you say that karmis are in a higher position than the jnanis? That is because karmis accept dharma and follow purpose of earth and kind, and they are on the level of monomal consciousness. Whereas the scholarly jnanis, you know, they are still at a lower level.
See, is that we're talking about positions, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So moksha is the highest. That's what we were saying before. But the problem is their position in moksha, since it's mundane, they don't see the Lord. They tend to be the atheists. Karmis tend to not be atheists, generally speaking. Not that you don't get them, but your influential atheists are jnanis. The standard karmi, they believe in God because they see good work gets them good results. They accept that there's laws in that. Most people will be religious. But that's why they'll consider, oh, that they're uneducated, they're not like that, but we intellectuals, we don't believe, because we think. So that's why it's a lower position. By their consciousness is lower, even though they may be situated at a higher point. You know, because and even they're on that, what are they thinking about? Let's say we take a physicist. Okay, we take within the modern academy, then, you know, hey, say science is going to trump art, and so of the scientists, then the physicists are going to be the top, right? And so then the nuclear physicist there, then what is he absorbed in? Right? Dead matter. Atoms. Right? And not even, you know, the family. We just mean just plain old atoms. Right? And so then the problem is even though they may be situated on that platform, their absorption is simply in dead matter. And their rule on how it exists is that they have to be able to see it. It's pratyaksha. Even though all their theories that they've written on that board, they haven't seen any of it. So that means it's only what they accept then is real. And if anybody else presents, oh, they'll say, I can't see that. But you can't see the stuff on your board either. Right? They say, well, we can see symptoms. And so we can see symptoms of what we're talking about. Right? There's laws. Everything works by laws. If it was chance, then wouldn't it be that different places there was different stuff? You know, in one part of Australia, there is no gravity. Like that. I mean, they have kangaroos and platypuses. Why can't they not have, you know? Huh? So that's the whole point is that there's symptoms. And so if they're scientific, they'd accept it, but they're not. They're atheists. So that's why they don't. So they claim to be objective, but they're just atheists. They're just proud. They're like that. So that disqualifies them. But if someone with that kind of intelligence can be Krishna conscious and is interested, then it will be greatly advantageous for them. But this thing just automatically, because they're smart, that makes them special. It's kind of like, who cares? Most people couldn't care less about any professor on the planet. You know, it's just like this. Someone wins, you know, at Daytona. Someone wins in UFC. Someone wins an Academy Award. people know about this. Who won the Nobel Prize this year for in science? Who knows? Anybody here knows the name? Right? So that's the thing, is that nobody cares. So we have to be very careful ourselves to not give them more credit than they deserve. Because the only reason the Brahminical position is given credit is because Krishna's given it to them, and that's because the Brahmins were created to protect Dharma. And if they're not protecting Dharma, then are they Brahmins? Just because they're smart. Chimpanzees are smart. Right? I mean, you see pictures of chimpanzees. They got their own little apartment. They watch television. They wear clothes. They got a refrigerator with stuff in it. You know, bananas, banana drink, you know, old banana stuff.
Smoke cigarettes,
yeah. I mean, he had, was there that Coco? It was a gorilla. Like that. She had a like 900-word vocabulary. She could understand what you said. She would give you sign language back. But she could actually, you know, tell what you said and give answers. And 900 words, that's more than most people. I mean, I remember the hippies, they had a 25-word vocabulary. Yeah, most are far out. Ooh, man. Ooh, dig. You know, I mean, like that was the word. So, I mean, you understand by how they said it. Dig. You know, it yeah. It's a language. Like that. And then you have Ebonics, like, you know. You know, 25 ways to say man. So this whole thing is that we have to understand is the material world, if anything has any glory, it's because it's a vibhuti of Krishna, not because those living entities are special. So we have to be able to get beyond that somehow, because they're academics, they're special. You know? Now, if the academics would take up Krishna consciousness, that would be very good. Because they do like to teach, they do like to, you know, distribute the knowledge, which the general karma is not so much into. They'll use it themselves, you know, discuss with a few friends about it, but they won't necessarily run classes on it. So if they will, that's good. But if they're not and they're opposing, then what's the point? Just because they themselves are, like, you know, they're totally overrating themselves, and we fall into the same trap. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
When in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna speaks about the karmas,
yes,
he always tells, gradually you elevate them, give them association.
Yes.
They appreciate the detachment of the devotees.
Yes.
When it comes to dhyanis, avadhanamti mamula. Totally.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, so you generally see Krishna is more kind to the karmis than he is to the jnanis. The jnanis are favorable in Krishna consciousness, then they're considered very elevated. So it's kind of like they're the highest or the lowest. You know, again, the similar, like we were saying, Prabhupada said about the Bengalis. They're either the highest or the lowest. There's nothing in between. You don't have an average Bengali. You have an average person from UP, not from Bengal. They're either the nicest guy or the worst guy. Like that. You don't have anything in between. Yes?
Maharaj, among the six schools, the first four are mostly like the Jnanis who are not accepting anything higher, the supreme transcendence. Then comes Jaimini, who supersedes all of them. Jaimini is propagating more than Karma Mimamsa.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
Vedanta is beyond because thinking is transcendent.
Yeah, because you can feed all the other four schools, they are basically jnanis with Jaimini. Because, you know, and he's the karmi, and he's the most thoughtful, so he has more answers. So this whole thing that they think or don't think, that's not a really good... You could say people who are thoughtful may tend to be more comfortable alone. But it doesn't mean that because they're thoughtful, they can't function with outside people. right? So you have in I think in what is it 13:8 where you give the 20 qualities of knowledge.
Yes.
Then one of those is not liking to be in the crowds. That's just because they just talk nonsense. You know, it's mundane. It's this, that. They get distracted. That's why. But it's not that they have a problem interacting. Does that make sense? So there's a difference there. So just because you don't like people doesn't mean that you're advanced. You know what I'm saying? Yes?
Also, Srila Prabhupada was quite merciful towards sensual deviations. Usually the karmas there. Deviation, but with the philosophical deviation,
strict, yes. Well, Prabhupada says sensual deviation is it means isn't as bad as a philosophical deviation. So that's why when you have an apasampradaya or those kind of things, that's way worse because it takes you on the wrong path. The other one, you're not doing good at the proper path. You know, the sensual deviation is going to slow you down or hold you back. But the philosophical deviation, you're not even on the proper trajectory. You know, where you'll end up, it won't be in the spiritual world. So that's worse, like you're saying. Yes. You had something?
Yes. So it seems that the difficulty is to move from the mental platform to the spiritual platform.
Yes, yes.
Because the identification is quite strong.
Yes, yes.
Okay. I realize that it's, in one sense, it's not too difficult to understand that we are not the body, but it's
right.
More difficult to understand that we are not the mind.
Yes, yes. But that'll also be for those who identify more there.
Yes.
Those are more intellectual. They'll have less problem with the bodily and sensual, but more problem with the mind.
Yes.
But because the mind's connected with the senses, then they do get a little, can get crazy.
Yes. Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So then, yes, it's just a matter. See, the main point is that's what's so perfect about Krishna consciousness, is all the levels you can connect to Krishna. You know, so body, mind, and words are all connected to Krishna. So depending upon who you are, you may start with the intellectual more and that kind of, someone else will start with the, you know, general physical work and all that. But it all works. Like before, so whoever joined, they washed pots. That was your first thing. You did that for 6 months. You know, nowadays someone said no one washes pots. So that may be the problem. You know, you don't get that dynamic, you know, how you say, purification. So the element is that you engage yourself, you see that you're engaged. So for us, it doesn't matter what your background is, if it's a karmi or a jnani, it doesn't matter. But the point is you have to be Krishna conscious. Right? So we see is that Lord Chaitanya dealt with Prakashananda Saraswati and with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. These two are jnanis. Like that. And so then you're trying to establish like that. But what you see is their discussions are to, so you accept the spiritual. Right? And then those who are involved in practical work, right, then they have a tendency that then, you know, how do you establish Krishna consciousness? What's the practice of Krishna consciousness? What's the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness? So the jnanis is just first getting them on the platform to accept Krishna consciousness. The other three will more easily accept. Right. So that's because, it means it's also individual, but the general tendency is the karmis don't think, they may not think they're as smart as, you know, so smart. Right? They're practical, but not as smart. But the jnanis will think they're smarter than they actually are. That's the problem. You know. They'll think they know everything and this and that. Well, the karmi is generally, yeah, I have my limitations. This area I'm good at, but the other things I don't know. But generally, the jnanis won't say that. So that's why, even in the academy, you have an opinion in your field of discipline. Outside of that, you don't have an opinion. So that means there is no karmi on the planet or jnani on the planet that can say that they are expert in devotional service. You know what I'm saying? Because you have to apply it.
Yes.
And so, why would just because they're an intellectual now they know, understand Gita or they understand the... No. Because they're an intellectual, let's say they're in literature, can they say they know science? No. They would never be allowed. They'd be tossed out. They would be told straight to their face, it's none of your business. But somehow in our society, because you have so many who, you know, coming from the background of karma, and they have that respect for the gyan aspect, the, you know, the intellectuals, then the intellectuals act way outside of their position. It's the new smartas, right? Because they're born in a Brahmin family, therefore they're superior. So because they're an academic, therefore they're superior. It's just the same. It's the same nonsense. Like that. The mentality is the same nonsense. They may know stuff, and that's good. Great, they can use it for Krishna. But just because you're an intellectual and that makes you superior and that means you can understand everything, in what world? In the academic world, you couldn't get up there and talk. You know, you say, I'm a devotee, but is this your area? If we're talking academics and that's your qualification, is it your area? You know, well, I've dabbled in it a little bit. That's not enough. Like I remember talking to one, you know, well-established professional musician. So he played Rudraveena. And I was asking him a question about Surbahar. It's like an oversized sitar. You know, and he was, oh, you have, you know, this, you know, like this. And he said he could play. But he said he's not professional in it. He's only professional in the Rudraveena. He can play Surbahar. Because when they were young, they would start on that and play with that. Then they would switch to the other. But that's the one he's actually trained in. So he would never go to a concert to play Surbahar or sitar. You know, saying, well, I'm a musician, I can play anything, you know? Like that, you know? It's like a, how you say? Who's the... can't remember who the guy was, but, you know, he wanted more cowbell, so... You know, he knows, he's good at cowbell, so that means now he can play drums. You know, now he can play the guitar. So that's the whole thing, is that because they're an intellectual, they only know their area. So if they're intellectual is generally in language, they don't know science. If it's in science, they don't know language. Very few are good at both. So then where's the, you know, so okay, they know grammar. Okay, does that mean you know Bhagavad Gita? If that's true, then, you know, the scholars that know grammar would be the most advanced devotees. So that's the problem, is that we're saying we're being practical when we're not. That's the whole point of Varnashram, is you know where you fit. And then why? Because if we ignore Varnashram, then they can present themselves however they like. Someone who's not a manager can say they are. Someone who's a scholar in one area can claim to be, you know, in everything. So that's the difficulty. That's the problem. And, yeah. So one has to be very, very careful with these things. It's that, yes, you can use them in Krishna's service, and that's the system, and that's what you should do, and that's very good. But don't claim that it itself is your qualification. Qualification is surrender to Krishna. Faith, that's qualification. Shraddha is the qualification. That's what Lord Nityananda says. The market is there, anybody can come and take the name, and the only price is Shraddha. And if you don't have Shraddha, you shouldn't be speaking. So if they don't have faith in Prabhupada's instructions and the Vedic version, they shouldn't be speaking. We can ask questions, but they shouldn't be speaking. Like that. That's why you see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when that big scholar came to visit him. You know, went to talk, I think he was even talking to him in Sanskrit. He told him, oh, the person you want to see is this person. He gave him a name and he went out really happy. Okay, I'm going to be talking to some really scholarly person, you know. He wanted to know about, discuss Krishna consciousness. So then he went out, devotees, he asked, devotees, you know, said, yeah, that way. He kept going that way until, you know, all the buildings are finished and there's just kind of like, you know, some, you know, places for cows and stuff like that. And then he asks around, and then that devotee comes, you know, covered in cow dung, right? Because he's the Goshala in charge. And so then he was really shocked. Why would he send me to speak to this guy? Because that devotee had such a good understanding of Krishna consciousness. Someone also told me is that, you know, the story about the disappearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then they had the best kirtanier doing kirtan. But then at the end he says, no, I want, stop singing, I want this other devotee. That other devotee was that Goshala person. Like that. So he was, you know, like that. So that's who knows Krishna consciousness. And if you're a scholar and you can engage that in Krishna's service, then it's perfect. But if not, it doesn't matter. Because if you know Krishna, you know everything. So in other words, if you know the Paravidya but don't know any Aparavidya, you're still the topmost scholar. Even though maybe the amount that you know in the Paravidya is not as much as someone knows in Aparavidya, you're still a superior scholar. But the problem is when you're working in the material world, that's the definition. It's just like, okay, in the outside the prison, okay, there's the guy that, you know, went into the store and, you know, took something and got caught, right? And he's in jail. And there's the guy that murdered somebody, and he's in jail. So, if you're outside the prison, which of the two is worse? Who's the lower? Yeah, the murderer is considered the lowest. But now if we go into the prison,
yes,
then who's the Paramahamsas?
Yes.
Right, the murderers. So you see is that the whole social system's reversed. So that's the problem. That's the way it is. So those who would have the greatest trouble in the spiritual world, they're considered the highest here on the mundane consideration.
Automatic.
Yeah, it's automatic. And the more atheistic, the more they feel they're elevated. You know. Is that, you know, because it's all you. Well, if you're theistic, then the problem is you're there, but then you're dependent upon these higher principles. Right? So then you're not as independent. So in other words, who's more independent from God, they're considered in a higher position. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. These guys are better. The other ones won't do that. They're too freaky. They don't. These guys just kind of adjust in, you know. While the pigeons, they're kind of on their own. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well done.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Good. Does that make sense? So we don't have any problem with someone being scholarly. We have a problem if they think the scholarliness is their qualification in Krishna consciousness, and therefore they're in a superior position. So then their opinion on something that they have no knowledge of is more important than someone else who has practical understanding. So, yeah. Yes?
What this sounds like after writing the story of Siddhanta, one of the introduction of that one, he is writing that actually he was defeating all the scholars because they are not following any sampradaya, any acharyas, and they are externally they are calculating all the mathematics for this thing. It is, one has to follow everything. And after meeting Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he writes, but actually, even though I am a very scholarly person, actually, what is devotion, I only understood from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji.
Yes, yes.
So I was proud.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Both ways.
Yes, yes, yes. And you also see his Bhaktivinoda Kaur in one of his, I think in Vidyara Vilas. then he shows that he grows up and he becomes this and he becomes a scholar and he becomes so many things, and you know, he becomes very proud and everything, and now when he's old and this and that and nobody cares, then now, you know, life's, you know, not really working for him, you know. So only taking shelter of Krishna, that has a benefit. So that's the whole thing, is that we hear from the means, like we want to discuss technical stuff, like in what do you call it? I think 87th chapter, right there. It's a conversation with the Kumaras, like that. You're not going to get smarter than them, you know. Or in second canto, Brahma and Narad Muni, you're not going to get more of an intellectual discussion than that, like that. At the same time as you have Prahlad Maharaj, who's 5 years old, and he, you know, and he's got, you know, chapters. So the qualification is God consciousness. So that's the whole thing, is it doesn't matter, you know. Kunti Devi has a chapter, you know, the different things, kings have chapter, you know, so wherever their background is, you know, Pingala, she's a prostitute, she's got a chapter. So it's a matter of whatever position you're in, you can be Krishna conscious. Right? So if one has a scholarly nature, you engage that in Krishna service and it's perfect. They said, it's not because you're a scholar, that's why it's perfect. It's because it's connected to Krishna, it's perfect. Just like karma not connected to Krishna is useless, gyan not connected to Krishna is useless. So we just have to get over the attachment. Right? And the natural thing is, you perform karma yoga, that will bring you to jnana yoga. So in karma yoga, you have to be worried about the senses and, you know, money and position like this. Then you get to come to jnana yoga, you still have to be careful that the intellectual doesn't distract you. Right? You know, so you always have to see. So if you wonder why is that more, it's because you have more devotees that have been around longer, so naturally they have more knowledge and more detachment. But that doesn't mean you don't have to be aware of the waves. Right? The tarangarangini. You know, you get distracted by the waves. That makes sense. The current adhyaya focuses on clearing all such misconceptions about the form of the Lord known as Sri Vigraha, which is supremely pure and faultless, and proves that the limited-sized form of Bhagavan, which looks like human, is the source of all other forms. In the first Adhikarana, the perfect nature of the Lord's form is described to establish his eternal and transcendental position, even when he appears in the material world. The Lord's form is beyond the realm of time and space, as he alone remains after the cosmic annihilation, when the whole material world is unmanifest. Whole material creation is unmanifest. Also, his human-like form is the abode of hundreds of mutually contradictory shaktis, which assist the Lord in exacting, enacting his pastimes in the material world. After assertion of the transcendental nature of the Lord's incarnations in the material world, in the first Adhikarana, the second Adhikarana focuses on elaborating the supernatural power of the Bhagavans, or of Bhagavans. I'm saying it's proper Indian English to put the Bhagavan.
Yes.
But since the class is not in that, then unless you want to, we can use that. Yeah, so Sri Krishna, who is the source and the shelter of all of the expansions and the incarnations. This Adhikarana thoroughly establishes the supreme omnipotency and opulences of Bhagavan's limited, medium-sized form of the Sri Vigraha, deity form of the Lord. There was also a North this before. I learned this in Calcutta. The gentlemen learned it because they all went to the schools. I was visiting someone, and something came up about this. And so I started talking in this. And then someone else who was there, who was a Westerner, he started talking back in that. And I asked him, oh, how do you know that? He said, it's a Welsh accent. It's not English. It's a Welsh accent. So he says, the first teachers in India who taught English were Welsh. somehow or another they could relate and deal. So he says that's why there's that accent. It's a Welsh accent. So we've talked for like about 10 minutes like this. And I would just talk like this and he would talk in a Welsh accent. And they were perfectly matched. So that means any of the educated people in India, then they would talk like this. You know, unless they went to an English boarding school, then they would talk with the British accent. I mean, with the English accent. Like that, so. But now, not so many people talk like this. They have a whole, they talk more, yeah, Bollywood. Yes, what to do. Next, the third Adhikarana further elaborates on the transcendental attributes of the Lord, such as names, forms, qualities, and activities, where it is presented that these attributes are non-material, and the reason for the Lord to manifest these various attributes is only to reciprocate with the desires of his dear devotees. Hence, this Adhikarana proves that there is no contradiction among the scriptures, which state that Brahman has no name, form, etc., and those which state that Brahman possesses transcendental name, form, etc. Because both these scriptures point to the single tattva, which is non-material, has no material attributes, but at the same time possesses transcendental attributes, which can be realized only by those who obtain the mercy of the Lord by practice of bhakti. The fourth Adhikarana shows that realizing the Sri Vigraha form of the Lord, which naturally possesses various transcendental attributes, is the highest goal of life. This is because the Swarupa of the Lord is the most perfect reality, which is thoroughly complete, as there is nothing one can add to his form, and absolutely faultless, as there is no impurity to be removed. Finally, in the last Adhikarana, shows that everything pertaining to this, here we'd put a da, right? To the Lord, such as his paraphernalia, his abode, and his associates are non-different from his Swarupa. The transcendental abode of the Lord, which is defined in the scriptures as the tripada vibhuti, is beyond the effect of material time and other inebrieties of the material world, and the residents of this planet possess all the transcendental opulences, even though they don't have any desire for it, because the Lord bestows upon them these opulences out of affection.
So there were the right amount of those, they were just in the...
There were no extra does. They needed to be adjusted around. It was there before, but it somehow or another snuck off. It went walking.
Pilgrimage.
Yes, went on pilgrimage like that. Well, yeah, because it went from a Lord to Bhagavan. It was attracted by the higher feature. So it's going from the Paramatma aspect to the Bhagavan. Okay. Yeah. That was a very... very glorious parikram. Overview of Adhikarnas. Adhikarna 1, Anuchedas 27 to 29, eternality of the Lord's deity form. Adhikarna 2, Anuchedas 30 to 45, Bhagavan's medium-sized form is omnipotent and all-pervasive. Adhikarna 3, Anuchedas 46 to 53, transcendental attributes of Bhagavan. Adhikarna 4, Anuchedas 54 to 61, the form of the Lord is the highest tattva. Adhikarana 5, Anuchedas 62 to 85. Lord's paraphernalia are non-different from his Swarupa. So then we're establishing the absolute nature of the Lord, right? And that the Lord is transcendental, right? Then having established this kind of position, then that he has Shaktis. And these Shaktis then are inherently part of his Swarupa. Right, so then you have the internal Shaktis, the external. But he doesn't transform, the Shaktis are transforming. Then having established the transcendental nature, then we were talking about the eternality of the form. The deity is also eternal, even though it's made out of seemingly material elements. Right, the medium-sized form, that's the original, not some other form. Right? You know, it's not that him in Vaikuntha or him as Brahman or any of these are our original. No, it's his medium-sized form. That's the original form. Like that. Then his attributes that are there because of his relationship interacting with the devotees. And then this form is the highest of all the tattvas. Then anything connected with the Lord, his paraphernalia, is non-different from his form. So his form is the highest, so all his paraphernalia is connected with his form, his devotees are connected with his form, his dham is connected, therefore that's all the highest. Does that make sense? So this is how it's Bhagavat, but you see, to establish that, you're establishing him as the absolute truth. That Bhagavan, with all attributes, is the highest absolute truth. Like that. Otherwise, we'll take it that Brahman is the absolute, or Paramatma is the absolute. Adikarna 1. Eternality of the Lord's deity form. Under Chedas 27 to 29. Adikarna Prakashika. This Adikarna establishes the eternal nature of the deity form, or Sri Vigraha. It is stated that the Lord's form, through which he performs various pastimes in the material world, is irreproachable. The Lord's form is faultless, even though he appears in the material world, which is full of inebrieties. This is elaborately explained in Anucheta 27 by citing Devaki's prayers to Lord Krishna when he appeared in Mathura. Through Devaki's prayers, it is confirmed that the Bhagavan's form, again, is beyond the space and time of material creation, because he alone existed before creation. So now we know the inner meaning of the Bhagavan. Right? Then how did you get here? Also, the death personified. Oh. I guess it's a relative, right? You know, it's always got to be one, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Who causes fear to every living entity in the material sphere. Fear is the Supreme Lord, and hence the devotees who take shelter of his lotus feet are freed from the fear of death. Therefore, the Supreme Lord can't come under the Maya spell when he appears in this world.
Another cousin.
Yes. Seems to be a big family. Yeah. At least one has understood the proper path and properly taken shelter.
Yes.
Similarly, in Anucheta 28, the eternal nature and supreme potency of Lord Sankarshana. You don't need to put the H. Okay. You know, just spell it like the Sanskrit, even though it's like that. Even though if you don't have the diacritics. Is described in order to reiterate that the Lord's form is incomprehensible to the tiny jiva who is bound by the material modes. Okay, so by Shankarshan's potency, you can't understand. So that's why then by him, he removes the material desire, and then that reveals the Lord. Right? In the next Anucheta, the powers of the Lord are described to demonstrate that the human-like appearance of the Lord's form is not a hindrance in exhibiting his supernatural powers. The Shrutis describe that this apparent human-like form of the Supreme Lord is the abode of hundreds of mutually contrary Shaktis. Hence it is confirmed that the Supreme Lord can never be influenced by Maya, even though he appears in the material world. Okay, so we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda ki.